Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. I am here with Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef, and we're here to talk about, hey, what's good? Sorry, I like introduced you, then didn't give you a window to say hi, but just enough to make you think you would have one. Sorry, that was like really messed up to do.
Love to be baited
we're
into interrupting
in the morning,
my friends.
So yeah, I'm just bringing a vile energy, and I apologize for that. At least the vile energy will match the vibes of the episode of part two of The Sacred Taking. Yeah, this is a part two episode, so again, if you have jumped in and this one is your first, probably start at the beginning of a season, if we're being real, but yeah, this is probably not going to be an optimal one to hop in on, but yeah, should we just do a quick recap of where we were and get into it?
Yep. I would love to revisit how awful the last 30 minutes of this episode was.
Hey, do you want to relive that again? The part where we were like, but the sacred taking happens so often. What do you mean it's rare?
Yeah, and it's not even like a it's not even like a thing. The sacred taking, like, isn't a it's happened, from what we know, it's happened once. She can't even give us more information about the other times it's happened. Anyway, TLDR, in case you guys forgot, Fiona has cancer, in case you've forgotten that, and made it very excruciatingly clear. Two things were made excruciatingly clear to us, the audience, and other characters in the show at the beginning of this episode, which was A, Fiona has cancer and has, like, roughly a month to live. Like, things are not going Fiona's way. She is, on her way out. And two, she will not kill herself. She refuses to. She's kept alive by spite and spite alone. Those are her two, like, undeniable truths that we are introduced to at the beginning of this episode. Prepare for every single other character, including Fiona, to just completely disregard both of those things. So, allegedly, because it's kind of unclear whether it was a imagined flashback or whether it was something that actually happened, Delia knows Fiona is dying of cancer and has about a month to live because, she told her, and her response was, could you please die before Thanksgiving? We don't want to eat your dog shit stuffing. So unless Fiona imagined that last, like, roast, which would be incredibly funny, then Delia knows that Fiona's got, like, a month left. And, like, from what we've known up until, I would say, roughly, like, when they figured out that Fiona killed Madison, which was, I think, last episode. It hasn't been that long. Yeah. Like, the only Supremes we've known of that have died are the one before Fiona, which Fiona murdered. And then, like, we hear about one from, like, the early 1900s. We don't know what happened to her. I guess we can assume she, like, died of old age or whatever. So we don't, like, have a real solid history of what's happened to all the Supremes. But when Delia is explaining this ritual, sorry, I'm rubbing the bridge of my nose like a college professor who's trying
ritual
to explain Algebra 1 to their advanced mathematics class. Delia's decided they need to do a ritual called the Sacred Taking, which she is explaining to the girls as they're all dressed in, like, red robes that look like The Handmaid's Tale. For some reason, they're not even doing the ritual at this point. They're just, like, dressed up standing in a circle while she tells them about it, which means that they absolutely just wanted a scene that looked like they were doing a ritual, because they know, they being the people who make the show, know there doesn't need to be a ritual here. And there is literally no point in there being a ritual for this.
Yeah, the thing that cracked me up is the realization that for some reason they decided witches kind of run on, like, Highlander rules, which is a strange choice to, like, yeah, if you kill one, you just get, you inherit their quickening. What? But why? And yeah, they've kind of stuck to that because Fiona just slashed a lady and it worked. Also, Fiona slashed Madison and I don't think, like, felt better, but, like, I think it still would work the other way, right? And I guess that's also the one defense they have against why they wouldn't just wait for Fiona to kick it naturally is she's shown an inclination to have the idea that if she kills the young witches, it will make her live longer for some reason. Mm-hmm. And also a clear willingness to do it by virtue of she did it. So I guess that's like the one thing they would have against just letting her die.
Yeah. And I think it still like kind of undoes like the whole like trial thing we were having in that other episode with Myrtle, you know, because it's still just sort of like, well, then what was the point of that if like there needs to be this ritual to get rid of her, you know, because I guess, you know what I mean? Like, what if she's found guilty in that then, too? It's like they can't burn her because they need the sacred taking or what, you know?
Yeah, that's a thing they really don't bother, like, acknowledging. Because when she explains this whole, like, sacred taking thing, like I said, there's really based on how much time there's been. Because she says the first one happened in 1692, which is only, like, 300 and some change years ago. There can't have been too many Supremes. So there can't have been, like, too many circumstances in which it was passed from one to the other. It seems like it would be varied probably almost every time. I would reckon, based on how we've seen it go, that only like 20% of Supremes like die naturally and pass it on to the next person. The one thing we have confirmed, or actually I guess the two truths that we have confirmed based on the rules they have shown us, is when one Supreme starts dying or starts like aging out. Okay, I said this in the reverse order. When a new Supreme starts getting their powers, the old Supreme starts dying. That's the first truth.
They fade, yeah.
Which is like not a new or inventive like mechanic for like storytelling. That's a very common thing. So that's the first like truth they have given us. Well, there's also the truth of the seven wonders, but that seems to be pretty fast and loose based on what we see later.
I was going to say, I don't know if we can call that a truth. That's not like gravity, Liz. It's not like easy to just be like, well, yeah, if something breaks it, then something's fucked up. Like, no, it seems like the seven wonders are just kind of like, I don't know, she revived people really good. That's like better than the seven wonders, right?
But believe me, they are going to treat it like it is a like a staple hallmark in a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
They want you to know the seven wonders are like imperative to being a Supreme. So the first like established one is that when a new Supreme starts getting her powers, the old one starts dying. There's no way to avoid that. The second is if you kill or they die the previous Supreme, if the previous Supreme dies, whether it be murder, i.e. Fiona killing the previous Supreme, or they die of old age, I assume, or they kill themselves, i.e. the sacred taking that happened in 1692 and allegedly two other times that we never hear about, that will always like speed run the next Supreme getting their powers and becoming full Supreme mode. So my thing is like, we know like one of Fiona's motivations is she is trying to figure out who the next Supreme is so that she can kill them and maybe stop herself from dying, which we don't have like any evidence to prove that will work. Neither does she. But I can like, I'm not like endorsing it obviously, but like, I can see where her thought process is like, oh, when this person like gets stronger, I get weaker. If I kill them, I will stop getting weaker.
It's not a fully rational thing she's dealing with. So she's like allowed to be a little wild on it, right? Like it's like a fear of, oh, I'm actually dying.
Yeah. So
sometimes you take some wild swings when you're like, falling that fast.
Even though the writing has gone wildly off the rails and definitely is not as good as it is in the first couple of episodes, like having a villain who's like driving force is their like morality and trying to mortality and also like even in this episode like Fiona like gives a whole speech about like how much the cancer fucking hurts, like she's in agony constantly, like having a villain quote unquote whose like motivation is like wanting to escape something that is rational, like not wanting to be in just absolutely devastating pain and agony every day is understandable. It's not, it doesn't like excuse their actions, but it makes them like an relatable, understandable villain.
Yeah.
And interesting to watch too, because like that like drive is understandable enough that you can see the wild lengths she'd be willing to take, right? Like it's kind of like having a horror villain and establishing what that horror villain is willing to do, but by virtue of just like showing us what the driving factor is and impressing on the audience how strong of a driving factor it is. So, like, it will drive her to do wild shit. So, like, it makes her scarier. Like, she walks into a room, and even if she's composed, she's looking around, and you're like, okay, but who is she thinking about killing right now? And, like, that's good. That's good.
I can like Fiona and not feel weird about it in a way that I can't with Delphine. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's justifiable in a way. And not justifiable, but it's relatable or whatever in Fiona's case, whereas Delphine is like, stop trying to make this character endearing, Kathy Bates, even though it's not your fault.
Like, every once in a while, and I do mean once in a while, because there are tons of antagonists in the American Horror Story universe, because it seems like every other character is an antagonist to a certain degree. But, like, very, very once in a while, they will have a sympathetic antagonist, or an antagonist that has a reasonable reason for what they're doing, or at least reasonable... Or how should I put this? Justifiable in their own mind in a way that you're like, oh, okay, you're wrong, but like I see why you think that's correct. And like they don't think they're being evil. They're not being evil for evil's sake is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like they don't think they're being morally bad when they actually are, but like they don't think they are being morally bad in what they are doing.
Or they think the ends justify the means because they think the ends are just. Yeah.
And that's not super normal for this show. They like Arden is a great example from season two. Like, No, just a whack job, just an absolute nutcase. He maybe could have like been something if they didn't make him a Nazi. If he was just like, oh yeah, no, I want to like cure all disease, and I want people to not be sick, and I'm a mad scientist who just wants people to not be sick. Okay, that's a little unhinged, but like I get it. But then they're like also. He's a hundred other awful things, not limited to being a Nazi and a serial killer.
Right.
With a
like
weird
Nazi
nun fetish.
Even, right. Yeah.
So, like, they're not usually really good about that. Or, like, Johnny or whatever his name was from, or baby.
Oh, brother.
Bloody
they
face.
Tried and failed. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Just like, if only I were breastfed. Oh, yeah, I was. Forgot. I wouldn't have known in the first place, actually, but
if
still.
If only I had sucked on the teat.
Me and my dad's desire for colostrum is just too overwhelming. It's perfectly relatable in human slow beef. We all want it.
We all crave the colostrum.
I gotta go.
Yeah, good episode, everybody. Wrap it up.
They hate to coddle the wires.
God. So anyway, back to the sacred taking. So
sacred taking.
Sacred taking. Which the sacred taking, like, just from a fictional perspective of like naming different rituals and like knowing the names of different, like, there's all sorts of like names for stuff in different medias that have magic. And like the sacred taking, I'm gonna be real with you, definitely sounds like a sex thing, for sure. Or like a fertility thing.
Like, even from like a mechanical standpoint, this is kind of what I was thinking when they originally envisioned it. The sacred taking was going to be like a targeted effect, right? Of like, I take the supreme from you and put it in someone specifically, not necessarily who was destined to be the next supreme, but like we fuck it up, we take it off the rails and we give it to someone else. That would also explain why it's a dark ritual, right? Or like something that was forbidden, because that's like, you know, killing the leader to take that, that's messed up. That's like a thing you shouldn't be able to do. And that also makes more sense for the name sacred taking, because you're doing theft by taking.
Right. It's like witch impeachment or something, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not quitting or leaving, you're fired, or, you know, that kind of deal. But
it
with
also,
death and magic.
Like,
but
putting it in those terms also makes it make more sense for Myrtle to be like, hey, Misty might not have any of the seven wonders, but she can do this really, really special spell.
Yeah.
So we should just
she's already
take
got
the powers
one
and
goose
give it
ability.
To her. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Make her have the eight wonders. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, that makes
new wonder
sense.
Just dropped.
That makes a total sense, but they do not at all take that route. They're like,
no. Not even a little.
We're trying to figure out who the next Supreme is going to be, and Myrtle thinks it's going to be Misty, because she has zero of the seven wonders, but she does have necromancy, which is like, okay, well, that's, so she doesn't have the driver's license she needs to drive the car, then, is what you're saying. She doesn't know how to drive the vehicle.
So I think like they had mechanically, you know, thought of Sacred taking as that and then realized it would absolutely just full stop kill the Who's the Next Supreme storyline. And they were like, oh no, we can't close a thread before the last episode for American Horror Story. We'd go to jail.
Yeah, and like, I guess minor spoiler alert, like the rest of the story is heavily who's going to be the next Supreme, like American Idol.
And not just that, yeah, it's like there's still more plot threads to open, amazingly, it's crazy. Anyway, whatever, sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, it's exactly that. They realized that like, oh, we could just have this where we could just give it to somebody. Because even if like, it's like they don't want you to think about that. Like, they're just like, we're going to start saying stuff, and we're going to hope you don't realize that it doesn't make any sense based on the rules we've established for this universe. They love doing that. So it's like they thought about it, and then, because the thing about it is, because that isn't how the universe works, hypothetically, when they just, whether Fiona just dies or if they kill her, because they're going to try and bait her. Spoiler, they're going to try and bait her into killing herself for some reason. It shouldn't matter. The biggest overwhelming point that we're trying to make is that it shouldn't matter because the end result will always be the same. If Fiona dies, the next Supreme, like, speed runs getting all of their powers and becomes the Supreme, because there isn't, as far as we know, there has not been a time where like a Supreme died preemptively and then there like wasn't a Supreme for a while. Like, we don't have any evidence that that's ever been a thing. So there's not like an urgency of like, we have to A, get her to kill herself instead of just murdering her or burning her at the stake like she should be. Or B, just letting her die in a month when we know she's gonna die. Like, we could just keep the girls that we think might be the Supreme really far away from Fiona so she can't kill them. And then let the cancer take her. There's no reason we can't just do that in the worst of scenarios. But alas, here we are doing the Sacred taking, which it shows them like breathing into each other's mouths and like cutting their fingers and doing a blood pact. I'm like, what is that for? What is this? What part of the Sacred taking is that? Like, what does
just
that do?
Just to make sure everyone's bought in. Right. I need to know everyone's serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, let's see. So now that, to get actually into the Sacred taking itself, right? We start with, because it's that bad that we had to spend. Okay, so it starts with Fiona puking in
a bathroom. And then they do the most cornball shit in the universe.
Right.
And start playing Season of the Witch. And I'm like, come on. Like, come on. Come on.
Oh,
like, at least
pay. At midnight.
So many.
I just got it. No.
Yeah, like, there's, like, so many choices they could make, and they had to choose the corn. But, like, what are they going to do next episode? Just have Fiona come out and start playing Monster Mash? Like, come on.
Hey, spoilers for season 4, okay?
It's a graveyard smash! I wouldn't even be surprised at this point, dude.
That's what should have played when Marie summoned the zombies. They should have had, one of them should have had a boom box that was just playing that. But the show isn't that funny. But yeah, Fiona's yakking. And then at midnight, for some reason, Season of the Witch starts playing. Which, by the way, the next 5 to 10 minutes of television will be radically unclear as to like why Fiona is seeing what she's seeing. Because you could say that maybe she's sick and is hallucinating it, which doesn't feel like something that other people could influence or something that other people could act upon, because I don't think they would know that she was hallucinating. So that's probably not what's happening. The second would be that, like, some great illusory spell is being used to, like, manipulate her. Which it's not what's going to happen, because basically Madison's going to come in and pretend to be a ghost that came back to life, and Myrtle's going to come back and be like, I am also back alive. But they're acting like they're the ghosts of Christmas past and present, which is not the confusing part. The confusing part is Myrtle will start giving her a little lecture about how the Axeman doesn't really love her, and she will get this vivid, like, vision of her dying of cancer in a hospital bed and the Axeman going, stinky, and then leaving her as she's dying. Which, like, I guess probably the most realistic thing would be to say that, she, like, just Fiona's imagining that. But I can't imagine that didn't already cross her mind prior to this weird gaslighting that the witches are about to do to her. So it's weird that, like, that is the turning point that she's like, oh, you're right, I should kill myself. because either A, she's being shown, like, a vision, like the ghosts of Christmas past and future, which wouldn't make any sense because the witches who are doing this elaborate, like, charade for her, A, don't know she's dating the Axeman ghost, which, why would they? And also, I feel like at least one person would be like, hey, Fiona, what the fuck? What do you mean you're dating the Axeman ghost? What does that mean? The guy we banished from our house? What do you mean?
Wait, I'm schmanging it.
slow down. We knew you since you were 8? Wait a minute, girl.
Fiona, what the fuck? yeah, like, no one does that.
If they knew that, they could probably make a really good case. Like, you know. No, anyway. But
also, as far as, like, her like, having thought about it, she literally earlier says to the Axeman directly, like, you're going to leave me when my hair falls out. And he's like, nah. So, like, even if she doesn't believe, like, she has thought about this. So this wouldn't be some big, like, oh, I never thought about that. I guess I'll die.
Yeah, that's what they treat it as. It's like, so basically, like, to speed run the weird play they do for
gaslight
her.
Gaslight montage, yeah.
Yeah, the weird gaslighting montage. Madison is, like, dancing around a Season of the Witch, and she says that if you've ever been on Tumblr.com, you've seen the GIF, I promise. She, like, spins around, and she's wearing a red dress, and she goes, surprise, bitch, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. That GIF has been used just, like, incessantly since the day this episode aired. This is where she says it. And then, basically, Madison's like, yep, you killed me. I'm back because I'm the next Supreme. Which I don't know why you would say that. Because it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's just like, oh, you've just incentivized Fiona, who's dying actively, to be like, all right, well, I'm dying. I have no reason not to use my last ditch effort to try and kill this girl again, to try and not die. Also,
Fiona, if anybody, has historical record and understanding that, like, no, the Supreme dies if you cut her throat. that does work.
Yeah. And, like, the other thing is, like, Fiona wouldn't believe that, because if she'd killed the Supreme, because I think, if I remember correctly, I don't remember exactly, but Madison says something to the effect of, like, no, I'm not dead because I'm actually the Supreme, which is, like, that's not how that works. The Supreme doesn't get self-revive. That's not a thing. Otherwise, the Sacred Taking probably wouldn't work, because if you kill yourself before you're actually, like, dying, that's what the Sacred Taking is, evidently. And there's no reason a Supreme couldn't say, well, I don't know, kill themselves and then just self-revive, looking at you, Fiona, who's been given this information falsely just now. But for whatever reason, she's like, I'm the next Supreme, and that's why I'm back. And Fiona's like, oh, no. And Madison's like, all right, so you got a couple of options. You can either kill yourself, or we're just going to burn you at the stake for murdering me. But remember, Fiona explicitly told the Axeman 15 minutes ago in the episode, I will never kill myself. I am powered by spite and spite alone, which, again, commendable, very relatable goal and and motivation. And then she's, like, packing her bags to leave, just leave the house. She's like, I'm going to take neither of those options. I'm leaving. And Myrtle's like, hello, I'm also back from the dead. And Fiona's like, God damn it, has everybody who died been brought back to life? And she says something, like, almost identical to that. She's like, how many people have been resurrected? And I'm like, at least Fiona's acknowledging that this is becoming bullshit. Like, every person who's dead, except for one, who we're going to talk to in just a second, has been killed and then revived. I don't think anybody who has died has not been revived that is a main character so far. And we're at, like, four or five people who are main. No, six. six people, it's, minus Spalding.
It's like a lot.
It's a lot of people who have died. And the only one who has stayed dead is Spalding. Everyone else has been brought back in one capacity or another. Yeah, so far. So really, like, at this point, even Fiona's like, all right, this is getting ridiculous. How many other people are back? And Myrtle's like, Lamau. And then she's like, Myrtle, and Myrtle basically gives her the same speech Madison does. And then Fiona's like, no, I can't kill myself. I have a boyfriend now, which is a wild, wild motivation to give this character who, like, let's be honest, is not, like, I don't complain much because it's just so common in so many medias. I don't complain much when they make a strong female character suddenly be like, I have a love interest. Like, that's just so common that I'm just numb to it. But, like, this character explicitly is coded in a way that is not the kind who's like, no, but my boyfriend. I love my boyfriend, like, now.
I think, like, the most archetypal comparison I could make is it would be like if in the middle of 101 Dalmatians, Cruella de Vil was like, I'm done with that puppy shit. I met a guy.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want the furs anymore. I just want that D.
I see you've been reading my screenplay, but nice. Anyway.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Was that under NDA still? My bad. And so then after she doesn't say, probably for good reason, she doesn't say who her boyfriend is, but Myrtle's like, nope, he's going to leave you because your hair is going to fall out and you're going to get stinky. And that's when she has, like, this huge sequence of imagining him, like, very, like, dramatically packing his bags and leaving and being like, you're stinky. You smell like poop. I'm leaving. And I'm like, what power are we supposed to think this is? Like, is this the reverse sight? Because that's huge. Like, I don't think people really understand that having the Mangekyo Sharingan is a huge power to have. Being able to see make people see a false reality is, like, insane. Yeah. That's an insanely power. Dangerous. Yeah.
Especially as soon as, like, there's any form of time mismatch going on, congrats. You can put someone in psychic jail forever. Like, you've done it. That shit's broken.
Yeah, like the weird prison they put Aizen in Bleach. Like, you can, functionally, you could just keep Fiona in mind prison until she dies of cancer, if that's the case. But, like, because they know that that's an insane power to give somebody, they don't, like, say, oh, yeah, so-and-so is... Because when Myrtle and Madison leave, they're like, all right, it's all done. She's all fucked up now. They don't say, like, who did what or, like, what happened just now. They don't bother explaining it because they know we cannot give that power to one of the characters because that's insane.
I think that's giving them too much credit to say they know that. I think they just don't. You know, I feel they like they would bother. Do that and then forget it. Yeah, you know, but that's my cynicism. At any rate, they're just like, okay, well, done, and they don't really extrapolate on it.
Yeah.
And they won't.
Right.
So, next scene, I believe, is just they're all sitting, them all being the currently alive witch girl children, sitting on the stairs, having a talk, and kind of having a who's going to be the supreme discussion, which, like, holy shit, time and place, ladies. We have business to take care of.
Right.
And Nan kind of goes off like, yeah, I think I might be the supreme. And everyone's like, don't be stupid. And she just kind of gets indignant about it because, like, they're being rude, frankly.
Yeah.
And just walks out. But also, hey, other problems, I really feel like, take precedent here.
Yeah, like, it's not, that's the thing, is, like, that whole conversation becomes a complete nothing burger when, like, you realize that, like, it doesn't matter who you think is going to be the next Supreme. The answer will become evident as soon as they get Fiona to die, because someone will just also be like, oh, hey, I have seven powers now.
Also, a thing, like, Delia should have covered instead of, like, the complete history of Secret Takings, Volume 2, you know what I mean? Like, okay, but by the way, if you're wondering who's gonna be the next Supreme, we'll figure that out, as opposed to, like, have this infighting.
It's weird they're even having this conversation, because when they were at the Circle doing the fake Sacred Taking to talk about the Sacred Taking, they explicitly say Misty is going to be the next Supreme, to the point where, like, Delia's like, just so you guys know, being the Supreme sucks balls. It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just
right,
misery.
You're right.
And Misty's like, I don't want to be the next Supreme. And Delia's like, tough shit. You're the next Supreme. So, like, I don't even know why this who is going to be the next Supreme, like, conversation
well,
is happening.
We needed to have a reason that Nan went over to Luke's house because
yeah,
for some
it.
Reason, like, she likes the hunk isn't enough motivation, which seems wild to me. Like, that should be plenty of
or,
motivation.
Yeah, just,
like,
him, just checking
yeah,
on him.
Hunk.
Just checking on
yeah.
him because the last thing she heard was him screaming because he was getting the
him
enema.
Screaming.
So, like, yeah,
yeah
she, ha- yep. she already has motivation to go next door.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There was literally no reason for them to be like, no, they need to piss Nan off first. So yeah, Nan breaks into Luke's house, finds him bound and gagged in a closet, which don't know what part of the enema that is, but life's hard. Oh, right. No, this is because of a different thing. Right. My bad. I forgot the one thing. I think, right? Isn't this legal? Spoilers. Is this Hank?
Yeah.
No. Him
wait, no?
Him being in the closet has nothing to do with it. I don't believe. We are not. Okay,
I was
listen.
Thinking, like,
I'm
it was
drawing...
maybe a setup.
No.
Because, like, if it's not a setup, this is just insane.
No,
like,
because...
I gave my son an enema and then bound and gagged him in the closet. Like, what part of the Bible says to do that?
No, because if you think about
Judges.
It, what will happen at the end of this sequence, because it does cut back to the regular house. His mom is totally free and she calls the police on Nan. Like, she sees Nan freeing him from the closet and then calls the police. Like, there's a little lady in my house and she's a devil worshiper. Come get her. So, like, if this was Hank's plan, like, he would have either A, known the mom was gonna put him in the closet, which still means the mom put him in the closet, or
mm-hmm.
B, like, he did that and then just left her, like, the mom out, and then the mom didn't think it was weird that Luke was tied up in the closet.
That's a great point, Mega Man. It doesn't make a lot of sense, yeah.
Well, I think we have to get there still, right? Because,
yeah.
like, yeah. So,
because it doesn't explain
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, neither here nor there. Okay, so Myrtle's hanging out with Fiona confusingly, holds up a mirror so that Fiona can do makeup, and... Yeah, they try to, like, have a moment together, but it's also, like, you killed Myrtle. Like, you did a false trial and burned her at the stake. I don't know why you're expecting
any
kind
really,
of decency.
They really, really wanted us to forget that, like, they hated each other as teenagers, too. They wanted us to,
right.
like, be like, oh, they used to be such good friends until Fiona went
no,
mad with power. That's not what happened.
Literally...
No,
it was
yeah.
literally eternal animosity from cradle to grave between these two.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, they wanted us
yeah.
to, like, misremember and think, like, oh, these two have, like, kind of a connection, and this is a great betrayal on Fiona's part for her to, like, throw Myrtle under the bus. Like, no, they've always fucking hated each other. Like, always.
Leave the retconning to your own characters, American Horror Story, okay?
Like- yeah. And then, like, yeah, they have, like, this little bonding moment where, like, Myrtle is like, oh, you're getting pretty before you die. That's so you. And then she, like, holds the mirror for her to do her lipstick. And, like, when we say they're having a moment, like, they're being genuinely, like, nostalgic
yeah.
together. Like, there's no animosity between them in this scene, which is very odd. 'Cause, like, you'd think, realistically, that... Even if Myrtle was being, like, weirdly nice to her, Fiona would suspect something. Like, Fiona's not an idiot. Like, Fiona would be like, hey, this lady who hates me, like, a lot, is being nice to me all of a sudden. Yeah. Something is up.
Also, like, this is the kind of interaction you could have after, you know, a decade plus of neither of them, like, truly interacting with each other directly in a hateful
right,
way.
Yeah.
And more just, like... kind of having fringe interactions by proxy of, like, what they do and who they work with that end up causing conflict, where they then could have, like, a meeting at the end and be like, yeah, we just kind of ended up, we were doing the same shit, we just fucked around in the wrong places, huh? Like, you know, like,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. You can do that, but, the last thing Myrtle remembers is being burned alive because of Fiona, and I don't think,
yeah.
I think, like 20 hours, probably not enough time to cross that bridge.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
The dirt nap that Misty gave her was just really good. It really just, like, set all of her chakras aligned, and now she's totally chill with being set on fire, I guess.
It's cool
good
now,
mud,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, God, I need to get me some of that good mud. And, like, Fiona's basically, like, talking about, like, yeah, remember when I fucked that jazz musician? He kicked ass. That guy was awesome. That was, like, really exciting. Also, I don't know why I'm telling you this. And then she says the one, like, kind of meaningful thing in this conversation, the only reason this conversation really needs to happen, and the only thing that makes it, like, a meaningful, nostalgic interaction between the two of them, which is she says she's always been really good at leaving before she's asked to leave in all aspects of her life, which is, like, a metaphor for that she's going to kill herself before she gets murdered. Which is, like, not great writing, but at least it makes this scene have a purpose. It's a lot of buildup for this one line, but it's the only thing that matters. And then Myrtle's like, you always looked so good in those lipstick colors. I could never pull them off. And I'm like, why are you guys being nice to each other? Whatever. And then she, Fiona says a throwaway line of, don't put me in the basement with that disgraced Russian witch.
Yeah, she's talking about, like, hanging up the portraits, because all of the Supremes have their portrait in the house. And yeah, she's like, don't make sure they actually display me. Don't hide me in the basement. And yeah, with the most intriguing line of the whole episode that I am sure they are not going to deliver on, which is, Liz, would you like to say who she mentions?
That disgraced Russian witch. That's who? It.
Tell me more, please. Is there, like, a Baba Yaga in here? I want to know.
Slow Beef can explain it. Slow Beef and I have discussed this because it is a little spoilery. For a season long from now.
This season. Did you ever see the movie Anastasia, the cartoon? You know?
Yeah.
Myth that it's based on?
I'd watch it in seventh grade social studies like 8 times. For some reason, that was one they just loved to play when they rolled out the media cart. So, I'm familiar with
Anastasia. So, you know, the myth is like the Russian princess who, like, escaped the Bolshevik Revolution and survived, I think? Yeah. What if she was a witch at Mrs. Robichaud's Academy? Anyway, so moving on.
Who's Bardock? Is there still a funny bat voiced by Robin Williams?
No.
God, I wish. That would make season 8 so much better.
You gotta do a little magic here.
Rasputin. Like, Rasputin being here would kind of make more. Whatever. It's anyway. My theory on it is not that they do, like, a call ahead to 5 seasons from now, but they have a scene that was deleted or something that, like, they couldn't fit in, that got cut, that gets reused in season 8.
Yeah,
when this becomes a thing.
I fully believe what I think it is, because when you brought that up to me, I was like, you know what? It's been bothering me so much that when Delia is talking about the sacred taking, she specifically mentions that it's happened 3 times, but they only give 1 example. I fully believe they had, like, an actual, like, PowerPoint presentation for the other 2 as well, not just the first one where the lady goes in the well. And they realized, first of all, this ritual is fucking nothing. We don't need to have it in the show, but we've already committed so much airtime to it that we might as well. And then 2, they realized it doesn't need to take up 15 minutes of the episode because it is a fucking nothing ritual that does nothing. So I think there were 2 more sequences, and I wouldn't be surprised if that Russian witch is mentioned in 1 of them as being one of the sacred taking people, because they say that disgraced Russian witch. So I imagine something went wrong. My theory. Either way, this line stayed in, and so they therefore had to reference it again several seasons from now.
Well, everybody, I want to introduce a concept known as the tension timer. It's simple. When they have a big, strong moment that's very impactful for the story, how long do they take to interact with it again, largely upheaving it? Like, for example, how long between a character dying and being revived, I think, would be a good... Because at that point, the tension's gone, right? There's nothing left to it.
Yes.
So, Fiona takes the pills and has decided she is going to kill herself. And so that huge moment is now... That's happened. The whole culmination of, like, the entire episode up to this point, a bunch of stuff before it, really huge moment, right? Like, she has they've done it. They've tricked her, and it was against her character innately. So, like, they really made it happen. And even to emphasize this, the show does the annoying thing again to make sure you know this shit is real. It's important. It's crucial. Myrtle grabs a couple pearls out of her jewelry chest and walks out and does a whole goofy bit to try and comic relief a little. But Fiona's fucking dead, baby. She's done. She's out of here. Sacred taking complete.
Yay.
Well, About 6.5 seconds later, Spalding shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, look, I'm a ghost now. She's like, oh yeah, she's like, you can talk. He goes, yep, I'm a ghost. Anyway, look, this is ridiculous. They're tricking you and gaslighting you. Don't kill yourself. Here's some syrup of Ipecac. Drink this and you'll throw it up. And she does, and we're all good. So,
like, literally, it's the most instant undo of a huge amount of work I've ever seen. Like, it's the most infuriating roadblock, because it's literally just a guy walking up and being like, hey, they're fucking you. Here's how they're doing it. Here's the cure. Sorry about that. They wasted a bunch of your time, because the thing is, they wasted our time as the viewers, yeah. Because that means this entire thing up to now has been just entirely shown as moot and unimportant. Mm-hmm. The only thing it has done is serve to make Fiona have open antagonism towards the rest of the coven, which she kind of already had.
Yeah.
And they kind of already had towards her, because Cordelia knows she fucking murdered Madison. So, like, that's not really up in the air. This whole thing served zero purpose, yep. Is what it is. Because also, like, oh, now Fiona has the resolve and she won't kill herself no matter what. She had that. You took it away.
It gets even more frustrating when you realize that from this point on, and I'm not, like, being hyperbolic when I say this. I'm being, like, 100% sincere. From this moment on, where she pukes up the pills after she's given the Ipecac syrup, it's like she no longer has cancer. She is now powered by spite, she does not have cancer anymore.
Okay, she just forgets she has cancer. I was going to ask if that happens, because it feels like this is the moment where, like, they have her change into another character and they forget the part where she had cancer.
Yeah, she goes back to being episode one Fiona, who isn't dying of cancer. Like, she is, for all intents and purposes, like, withering for most of this episode. Like, is clearly on death's door. Like, has, like, at best, like, a month, but, like, that's even pushing it. And then as soon as Spalding's like, yeah, they were fucking you, she's like, well, now my spite meter has been maxed out, and I'm fine again. Cancer who? I've never been sick a day in my life. What are you talking about? I've decided I'm not sick anymore. Which doesn't make any sense. Which, like I said, I get spite being a motivating factor. I am also that bitch. But, like, it doesn't make you not have cancer anymore. It doesn't make you just fine. Especially since, like, that's the catalyst of your character, is that you need a cure for you dying. Because now, well, you seem like you're fine now. So, like, is there even a conflict anymore? Like, now you could hypothetically, like, just not be an antagonist at this point, because you're just fine now. Yeah, it's really, really annoying, because it's now not only undone, which, by the way, I was thinking about it last night, actually. A little weird. Like, we'll get, like, a little breadcrumb that kind of, like, this is why I was thinking about it. A little breadcrumb that reminds us of this character trait, but, like, the show absolutely forgot. Of, like, remember the episode where she revived a dead baby and, like, her whole thing was being so devastated that Delia had been injured and she, like, felt like she had been a terrible mother? And, like, she's like, I have to fix that now and make amends. Crazy. Absolutely crazy that's no longer in there. Who could say? Who could say if that ever gets whoever gets resolved or not? All we need to know is that she's fine now. If you think she's sick, she's not.
All right, I'm going to blitz this next scene because it does nothing but add to frustration. So Delphine, we cut to Delphine in a cage. Queenie brings her some food. They have a fun little exchange where we try to play up Delphine as a little old lady, which fucking sucks. They have a whole thing about how, you know, why did you betray me? Blah, blah, blah. There's no good reasoning given because the story is really badly written. Marie Laveau walks in and Queenie walks out, and then they just were like, oh, right, Delphine's going to be racist again. And they have her do that, which, I don't know if they're acting like she can have a little incentivized racism since she's being they're being mean to her, which I don't under, it's really unclear what they want out of this scene. Right. Delphine makes an offhand comment of just like, well, you can't kill me now. What are you going to do? Which it's like, torture you forever, you stupid motherfucker. You were already in a box underground. What? Well, how did you not learn, lady? And then cut back to back home. Nan has pulled Luke and gotten him unbound, ungagged, and kind of has a whole like, hey, are you okay? They have a fun little like, oh, are we dating interaction? And then the mom has a red dot sight on her chest and gets shot in the chest twice. Hank continues to be just absolutely butt cheeks at this. Luke gets shot apparently in the arm and everyone just kind of goes, what the? Which is a great question because he's shooting the wrong house. Well, anyway, it's time for Myrtle to sadly play them, tickle them ivories repentantly. Everybody's just vibing, waiting for Fiona to kick it, and they're all just kind of like hanging out together. They have a weird exchange where they're like, so like, how do we know if we're becoming the Supreme? And Delia's like, your feet will be really warm, and everyone's like, oh, okay. And then Myrtle says, yeah, exactly. As written in the scripture, your cooch will tingle, which thanks Myrtle. And then, yeah, this is where Fiona reveals to all of them that she is alive, which, again, just zero tension, even on the reveal side of this. You know, like they could have had Fiona skulk around in the shadows and do. Nah, she just walks downstairs. She just walks downstairs and goes, nah, you get a migraine. That's what it was for me, at least. And she's just fine. Yeah, she's just fine. She's entirely fine. She's just entirely cured of everything at this point.
This scene is particularly infuriating because Misty is the one who's like rubbing her feet and they're like, oh yeah, your feet will get warm or whatever. Misty cannot overstate is in this shot. You need to understand. Misty is in this shot, in this room with everybody. Fiona walks into this room.
Yeah, Fiona walks in with a sight line that would instantly see Misty. Like Misty would not have time to vanish.
Like, in front of her. Like, there, she's not off to the side. She's not, like, hidden in a corner. She is dead center in front of the doorway Fiona walks in to. Mm. Which is insane, because the next thing Fiona says is, so where's the swamp witch? Which makes sense, given what the exact next scene is, which is that Misty has instant transmission somehow to next door for some reason.
Yeah.
But like, she's in the way it's scene.
Yeah, to be clear, like, it's literally there. Everyone is in a circle, like, talking on couches. It cuts to Fiona walking in zero frames later, and then it cuts back to Misty's chair, and she's just... Which, when?
She's not even gone. There is a wide shot. I can't screenshot Amazon anymore, so I had to take a picture of my actual like monitor. But there is a wide shot scene where both Fiona and Misty are still in the scene together while Fiona is talking. She is in frame. You can still see her. She's not even like obscured by being cut off. She is like... visually present while Fiona is looking at her, and Fiona's like, where's that swamp witch? She says directly to the swamp witch who's right in front of her. But it doesn't matter because I guess magically she also has teleportation and is now next door.
Because it cuts from where's that swamp witch to, oh, the swamp witch is in the house next door.
Yeah.
Here she is. And she's talking to Nan, trying to figure out what happened. And the cops are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Have fun with all this.
The cops are like, hello, two women I don't know. We love when you're at crime scenes for no reason. Have fun. Touch the bodies a little.
And for some reason, Fiona also walks over and is just like, hey, show me how you revive people. And then Misty revives someone in a way that is entirely different from every other time she survives somebody. She's like, hey, all right, I'll just freeball this one and just revive somebody. And Fiona's like, very interesting. Delia just has a moment of like, my Hank sense is tingling, and picks up the bullet. And this is where the sight goes from being like overpowered and a little annoying to just debilitating, because she touches an object, which is a bullet. And sees into the mind of this non-sentient object and sees its past and sees its history and realizes Hank is the sniper and he's shooting at my house. Like,
more confusingly, he's shooting at the neighbor's house and killing the weird neighbors for some reason.
Yeah, this really doesn't track.
Which, by the way, we kind of, like, we in our blitz, we missed that, like, we're not, like, exaggerating when we say Hank is the worst sniper. Because, first of all, red dot for a sniper, not a great look. Snipers typically don't love when the person they're shooting knows that they're being shot. Oh. Also, you have a red dot. Why did you shoot her in the abdomen? Oh, it's because Misty wouldn't have been able to revive her if she got shot in the head, I guess.
And I guess there's supposed to be movie magic that you know that there's sniping going on. But also, realistically, too, snipers don't use red dots because that kind of long-range shooting, it's like a straight shot doesn't make sense because there's, like, the bullet's going to drop a little, wind, all that fun stuff. Yeah. Like, it's not helpful, you know, but they
also
don't know that and whatever.
All that transpires. He has the red dot and does the sniper stuff. And he also kills the two wrong people and not the one right person that's standing between them, which
it's
is just
really
like, yes. Holy shit, Hank. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because, like, the one argument you could make is, like, oh, he's doing that to bait them all into rushing over and trying to do something. And then, like, they do. And he just doesn't act on it. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, cool. Just chill then.
Yeah, my working theory is that he was too embarrassed that he killed the two wrong people and not Nan. And he just left. He was like, all right, I've beefed it too many times. I'm leaving.
I like to think he only brought two bullets.
Yeah.
He's just like,
three.
I have to reload this clip.
The two he shot, and then the one on the ground. Which, why would there be a bullet on the ground outside to begin with? Like,
oh, yeah.
He's a really dog shit hitman. Just truly the most dog shit hitman of all time. You know what? Marie Laveau is right. He deserves a 1 out of 5 stars, truly. Like, I hope she gets a refund, because this guy fucking sucks at being a hitman.
I only do sexual espionage. I don't know why you keep asking me to kill people.
Oh, man.
This dick is just too good to be a sniper. I'm sorry. and then when Fiona is talking to Misty and she's like, hey, what happened here in regards to the dead bodies on the ground? Misty's like, she uses Jedi mind tricks on the police officer, who's like, it might be a robbery gone wrong. He says this to Fiona. The only two people in the room are Fiona and Misty. When Delia picks up the bullet, she goes, this was no robbery gone wrong. And I'm like, oh, cool. That character didn't hear that information. So why is she responding to it? like, she would know this wasn't a robbery and no one would think it was a robbery. Like, why? What is this dialogue? They wrote dialogue for a character that wasn't in the room for the conversation. Also, like, everyone's just kind of hanging out with Fiona. Like, no one's bringing up that she was supposed to be dead or anything. They're just like, all right, she's back, I guess. Now we have to deal with a sniper. Whatever, that's fine.
I didn't think the sacred taking would work, if we're being honest. So anyway.
Yeah, yeah, we're fine. You know what we haven't checked in on in a while that sucks really bad?
Kyle
the iPod.
Kyle!
Yeah, Kyle the iPad baby. He is so tired of learning shapes and colors. So when Zoe comes in, he's like, oh, no, you look stressed, and, like, hugs her and is like, we could have sex now. And she's like, no, Kyle, we can't have sex now. I got to get you out of here. We're in danger. They have the most fucking awful interaction because he's watching, like, a YouTube kids video.
The street goes both ways. Like, it's legitimately forcing out a copy of an English sentence he just heard, which, again, does not elevate, should not elevate Zoe's concept of him, like, above a toddler level. If she thought he was that before, she should continue to think that, because this is something you can teach, like, a bird to do.
A parrot, yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Kyle says, like, he loves her, and then Madison overhears that, and that's a problem.
I'm sorry, I need to be more specific. Madison is skulking behind a cabinet in the corner and has been the entire time, which Lord knows how long she's been sitting back there if Kyle's not even aware of her. Like, why? What are you doing? Madison, don't you have other things going on? Why are you just... And, like, not with phone or anything either, right? Because, like, sure, I could sit in a corner with phone for a solid hour. I'm built different. But, like, Madison doesn't have phone. So, what the fuck?
She just likes being, like... Yeah.
Didn't she not feel anything? Wasn't that a thing too, or is that over with?
I think it was physical. Like physical doesn't feel anything. Okay. I think that was the implication. Because I don't think Madison was really a touchy feely person. Ironically, this scene where she's like listening and like overhearing and like spying, completely contradicts what she does in the previous scene where they're all together, which is where she walks in on Zoe and Kyle together and is like,
it's fine.
So like, why is this different? Why is she suddenly like, oh, icky, don't like this?
Writers need conflict.
Yeah.
Writers need conflict.
We didn't have enough of those. Fiona coming back to life wasn't enough conflict, so we needed more. That's where that ends off. Like, that's that night. No plot threads. Zero were closed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, some of them opened more, actually. Now we have more plot threads open. But it's the next morning, and everyone's just fine. Like, nothing happened the night before. Everything was just a normal Tuesday night at Witch House. And Delia's chilling at the kitchen table with a bullet in front of her. And Fiona comes in and hangs out with her and is like making coffee and like is just kind of being like cordial to her. Is not like being like weird. And she's not even being like antagonistic, like, I know what you did. Like, she's just like, oh yeah, no, I know you tried to kill me. It's fine, whatever. Anyway, so what's going on? You want your coffee or what? and then she says something to the effect of like, oh, we should move your bed downstairs so you don't fall down the stairs or whatever. And Delia's like, oh, I bet you'd want me to fall down the stairs so I die. And then Fiona's like, no, I don't give a shit. In fact, I'm actually proud of you. And she's not saying this like facetiously. She's like, no, I'm like actually proud of you. Like, you remind me a lot of myself. I'm proud of you for trying to kill me.
You made a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made a fucking move. And I love that. I love that you did a thing instead of just farting around in your garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, this isn't like Fiona being facetious and backhanded like Game of Thrones style. She's like, no, like, you're my daughter. Like, you acted like my daughter. This is the first time I've ever been proud of you, actually. And then Fiona sees the bullet on the table and is like, hey, what's up with that, man?
So what is the nature of this bullet? What bullet did they choose for this mythology of witches?
You know, the one that you kill witches with.
A silver bullet?
A silver bullet.
Yeah, definitely not for like werewolves.
Like, oh my god. Like,
maybe vampires.
Yeah, maybe vampires.
Maybe.
Here's the thing. There are certain folklore where a silver, like, holy bullet is used for like crones, hags, etc. Like witches, like we're talking like wicked witch of the west and east witches.
Yeah, like tres brujas, yeah. Like mythical witches.
We have seen that these witches specifically, just normal people. You can just slash their throat or shoot them with a regular gun.
I was gonna say that
one girl got shot in the head. Like, literally, just
probably
regular gun. Silver.
Probably should have gone for like just like hollow points.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now keep in mind though, she was shot by Hank.
Maybe he used a silver bullet for that. But yeah, like
maybe.
These witches have been shown to be like imminently killable.
Maybe Luke was a werewolf. We didn't know.
I have bad news. So anyway,
American Horror Story.
Yeah, you're watching American Horror Story. So he's like, silver bullet. Well, the thing is, Fiona says, silver bullets. Like, oh, that's obviously for us then. Like, we're being hunted by a witch hunter. Like, it's obvious. And I'm like, whatever, man. Whatever. All right. You just look that up on Wikipedia for, like, Bloodborne or something. And then this is the last scene of the episode. So I cannot overstate how this takes place over the span of 5 seconds. Fiona is told they are actively being hunted by a sniper with silver bullets. Like, that happens. Roughly 0.5 seconds elapses, and the front door is being rung incessantly. Like, someone's trying to get them to come to the door. Fiona, like any rational person, is like, oh, we have a sniper, you say? Let me go stick my head out of the front door first. I open the door with my head first and then stand openly in the doorway for a solid 20 seconds while looking around.
Snipers,
stupidly.
Huh?
Yeah.
Where?
She's like, I sure hope a sniper doesn't snipe me with a silver bullet as I stand here in my doorway like a weirdo, like no human being has ever stood. I think they had her do that so we'd be like, oh no, she's gonna get sniped. But like, yeah, man, that's why that character wouldn't do that.
Correct, yeah. Like, it is literally such a bad choice that it is, like, legitimately the grimace McDonald's. Like, ooh, you want my McNuggies, Hank? Ooh, you want to snipe my McNuggies? Like, it's just like, what are you doing?
I'd like to think there's no way the writers are this smart, but I'd like to think that, like, this is for us, the audience, to be like, oh, well, you know what? Hank's such a dog shit sniper anyway that, like, even at this range, still wouldn't successfully kill Fiona. Would still beef it somehow, even with her being like, you want to shoot me?
Yeah, he's been aiming at this door for the last 35 minutes, and he still misses.
Yeah.
There's a box in the front porch. It's not a sniper. It's a box. Fiona does a weird thing where she waves her hand over it and closes her eyes. Which it appears that it's supposed to be so she can, like, tell what's in there, but she doesn't know what's in there, because when she sets it down on the counter to open it, she is surprised. So, like, is her hand a metal detector? Is she, like, looking for a bomb?
It's specifically, like, a bomb-detecting spell. That's one of the, that's the eighth wonder. 7.2.
It was in the most recent update. That makes sense. She got it after she, like, survived the sacred taking or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So she has metal detector hands. Yeah, the sacred metal detector hands now. And she determines that it's not a bomb, I guess. I don't know, because it doesn't say what she's doing it for. And then she takes the box inside, and then Delia's like, oh, what is that? And they open it, and it's Delphine's head, and her head's alive. Is this anything?
And she's like, help me. And I'm like, why?
Why do the witches give a shit about Delphine? Like, at this point, like, Fiona would absolutely, if she was staying in character, punt the head like a football out the door. Like,
or just close the box. Yeah, like, I don't have time for this. Like,
yeah, not my circus.
That would be so fucking funny if, like, if she opens it and goes, help me, and she just closes the lid and goes, do we have packing tape?
Yeah. Like, that would be...
Not now. Yeah, I would show her names, frankly. Season 3 would be
We'll this. Handle this later.
Like, I don't
would have
even
said
know.
We can't do this. This is the one good season. Sorry, go ahead. Yes.
I don't even know what the implication is supposed to be here, like, thematically, because they say it like it's, they do it like it's a cliffhanger, and I'm like, A, the witches don't give a fuck about Delphine, so, like, this isn't like, oh, they sent Madison's head in a box, or Queenie. Mm-hmm. They didn't send Queenie's head in a box. Like, this is Delphine, a character that nobody gives a shit about. And then secondly...
Those characters actively hate. Like, Fiona has straight up been like, yeah, the only reason I got her was to piss off Marie Laveau.
Yeah.
And then, like, the thing is, now Marie, who just gave a speech about how she's going to torment Delphine for forever, like, doesn't have Delphine anymore. Like... So much for tormenting her for forever, I guess, because you just gave her back to the witches. So, like, is this supposed to be a godfather moment where, like, you know, there's a head? Like, no one cares. Like, me doing a jerk-off motion with my hand. No one cares.
This is, like, an ADHD moment where it's just like, I'm going to torture you forever. Then a day later, you mail her to somewhere, and then you're like, oh, yeah, never mind.
I wanted
I'm bored
that.
Of this. Yeah, I could do it. I could see it for me. So, yeah.
Yeah. But. So, that just confusingly, ends up, cause, like, they do it with, like, intrigue when she's like, I'm going to keep you alive forever. And then she cuts off Delphine's hand and then Delphine's like, oh no, my mistake, my hubris. And so we're supposed to be like, ah, okay, well now Delphine's getting her comeuppance. She's going to be tortured forever.
Right.
That's immediately closed because now her head's back with, the witches, who hypothetically don't actually give a shit about Delphine. So I guess much like we don't care about Delphine, neither does the show. Which is a little infuriating because they made us suffer through her being in the show.
Right.
For really kind of no reason up until now.
Well, we unfortunately have not seen the last of her, and she's got a whole arc coming up, and it sucks.
Great.
Why though? But why?
So great. Sorry that Slowby from the future had to do it to you, but yeah, I did.
Well, guess what the next episode's titled?
Oh, something stupid, right? What was it?
It is. It's very stupid.
Yes, I remember now. I didn't even look it up, and I remember. Yep.
So the next episode's just titled Head.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that away from you for the world, gamer.
On that note, the next episode's titled Head. I will leave you all to come up with your own ideas.
Are you telling me we pivoted from a Kyle episode to a Delphine episode? I'm throwing my computer out the window. I'm done.
Just wait.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, till next week, gamers. Oh, also, hey, if you haven't already, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/ oh God!
Great and terrible AHS. All one word.
All one word. Yeah, we have some bonus episodes there. They'd be super sick. That's part of the reason we're able to do this. So yeah, if you haven't considered, consider swinging over there and dropping some support. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll see you next week for some head. Okay, bye.
Bye.